This program was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, Irirangi Tumotu, MPR.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Welcome to Amazing Grace for another week. It's chilly here, and I hope where you are warm and in good health. My name's Lynette, and I'm joined today by my husband Dennis. Here at Amazing Grace, we would love to hear from you. We also have some free giveaways, the book Steps to Christ, and here in the local takeaways in Palmerston North, you will find a rack of little books called Signs, the Signs magazine. And this is a book that's filled with health and family and issues we face in life today, articles on those things. So, yes, as I said, we would love to hear from you, your feedback or questions. We also would be happy to pray for you or a friend or family member off air or on air if you would wish. You can contact us either by email at info@mpr.nz, info@mpr.nz, program Amazing Grace, or you can text us and the number is 022-6815216. So let's start with a prayer. And Dennis, can I ask you to say that, please?
Father in heaven, we just thank you that you love us. You've made us. It says it's by your will that we're here. And the Bible says that the world is broken and you came to rescue us and you died upon a cross. And Lord, we thank you that you see us is important to you. Thank you that you love us, Lord. And we just pray that you would be with us and the listeners, Lord, and may we all be drawn closer to you, we pray, by your Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. So, I have been reading through the book of Psalms, and this verse, how precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. And that's found in Psalms 36 and verse 7. And it's just amazing how many verses there are in Psalms that talk about in the shadow of God's wings. And yeah, here are some a few more. This is in Psalms 57. My soul trusts in you, and in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed by. And over the page, in Psalm 61, I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. And that was 61 verse 4 and 63 verse 7. Because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. And a lot of these psalms are written by David, who spent a lot of time as a young boy as a shepherd out in the fields. And maybe he remembered incidences where he saw mother birds protecting their babies, and He knew that God was in a huge way, far above that, but his mighty wings protecting. And just recently, a few years ago, the National Geographic magazine described a forest fire in Yellowstone National Park in the United States. After it ended, the forest rangers trekked or hiked up a mountain to assess the damage. And one ranger found a bird literally burned to ashes at the base of a tree. Somewhat sickened by the eerie sight, he knocked over the bird with a stick. And when he struck it, however, guess what happened? Three tiny baby birds scurried out from under their dead mother's wings. The loving mother, keenly aware of impending disaster, had carried her offspring to the base of the tree and had gathered them under her wings. She could have flown to safety so easily, but had refused to abandon her babies. This really gets to me for some reason. What a picture of the believer who is safe in Christ. What a picture of you and me, dear friend, if we are trusting in Christ, safe in him. The fires of God's judgment burned themselves out on him at Calvary, and all who are in Jesus, who claim him as their Lord and King and friend and Saviour, are safe beneath, safe forever beneath his wings. At the cross, Christ was judged as a condemned sinner so that we could be judged as righteous, as perfect citizens of the heavenly kingdom. He was judged as a criminal so that we could be set free from the destructive fires of eternal hell, both figuratively and, yes, literally as well. Yeah, so under the shadow of God's wings, we are safe. And it reminds me of that song, Under His Wings, we are safely abiding, safely abide forever. And yeah, friend, may you find that safety, that protection, that peace that only Jesus brings. Now we're going to have a song, and it is called, when I find it, it is called Jesus is the Answer. When it works, let's click on the right button.
Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Just think you cannot climb, and I know your skies are dark, you think the sun won't shine, but in case you don't know that the word of God is true, and everything is promised, he will do it for you. Jesus is the answer for the world today. And there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way.
If you have some questions in the corners of your mind, traces of discouragement, peace you cannot find, reflections of your past, seem to face you every day. But this one thing I do know, that Jesus is the way.
We're going to look at our health tip for the week, and we are reading from a book called The Ministry of Healing by E.G. White, written quite a long time ago, but it's quite amazing how relevant. And in the world we live in today, it is quite amazing how many more vegan products, plant-based products are being brought out. And when you look at the science, when you look into it, investigate health, you find that a plant-based diet of vegetables, fruits, nuts and grains are far more healthy for us. And the statistics and the research show that people who live on this type of diet live longer and are stronger and a lot more healthy. So, here's some more tips. When properly prepared, olives, like nuts, supply the place of butter and meat. The oil, as eaten in the olive, is far preferable to animal oil or fat. Its use will be found beneficial, and it is healing to an inflamed, irritated stomach. Persons who have been used to eating a rich, highly stimulating diet or food that have an unnatural taste, they have developed a taste for rich food, and it will be hard at first to enjoy food that is plain and simple. It will take time for the taste buds to come back to being more healthy and for the stomach to recover after the abuse it has suffered. But those who persevere in the use of wholesome food will, after a time, find it beautiful. Its delicate and delicious flavors will be appreciated, and it will be eaten with greater enjoyment than can be derived from unwholesome dainties. And the stomach, in a healthy condition, neither overtaxed or fevered, can readily perform its task. In order to maintain health, a sufficient supply of good nourishing food is needed. If we plan wisely, that which is most conducive to health can be secured in almost every land. The various preparations of rice, wheat, corn, and oats are sent overseas everywhere. Also beans, peas, and lentils. These, with fruits grown in the country or imported fruits and the variety of vegetables that grow in each locality, give an opportunity to select a diet that is complete without the use of meat. Wherever fruit can be grown in abundance, a liberal supply should be prepared for winter by bottling or drying. Small fruits such as currants, gooseberries, strawberries, raspberries, and blackberries can be grown to advantage in many places where they are but little used and their cultivation is neglected. Yeah, so thinking of the fruit that is grown, we've been blessed with a mandarin tree that is literally loaded with mandarins, and they just taste so scrumptious. With a bit of diligence and work, God doing the rest, sending the rain, sending the sun, Dennis has prepared the soil and puts good compost on, and looking after the tree, it is amazing how we are blessed with lots of vitamin C fruit at just the right time of the year. Mandarins and grapefruit and, maybe some others that I don't know. Dennis, have we got anything else? Vitamin C.
Feed jars.
Feed jars, yeah. So, yeah, God really... You know, he's made these fruits to come into season at just the right time when he knows that we need an extra boost of vitamin C in the winter. So, yeah, that's our health tip for today. And unless you want to add anything, Dennis, we'll have another song.
Yeah, well, I would say the benefits of a good diet is, you know, the Bible gives it really in Genesis 1:1-2, you know, fruits, nuts, grains, and Genesis 3, after man fell, the fruits, I mean the vegetables, the herbs of the field, which are the vegetables, they are the diet that God planned for us. And when you look at it, you know, overall, you have much better health. You know, like I'm 70, 71 soon, on no tablets, nothing, right? Still climbing mountains, have no aches and pains in my body. Now, I grew up on a farm where we had lots of meat because meat was so cheap, you know. But when my father died of cancer, I thought, well, that's a terrible way to go. So I've read up about health, and the more I've learned, it's just so convincing. So there's some really good DVDs out there. You know, What the Health, I think, is a really good one. Forks Over Knives And one of the best books out is the China Study. So the original came out 10 years or so ago, but there's a revised edition. And the China Study was about a study done in China, because the leader in the 70s was going to die of cancer, and they wanted to find a cure for cancer. I remember Nixon said he was going to find a cure for cancer, but today, what is it? 1 in 3 will get cancer, 1 in 4 die from cancer, and it's just a horrible way to go. And if only we follow the principles that God said, you know, the turn of the 20th century, it was 1 in 29. Today we're 1 in 3 you'll get cancer. So there's something drastically wrong with the diet or other factors too. So, I would challenge our listeners to read the China Study. Mm-hmm. Or the watch, Forks Over Knives. You just put that into Google, Forks Over Knives. You might have to pay a few dollars. Or What the Health. So there's a lot of good stuff out there. You've got to live by principle, not taste. I've got a friend trying to encourage him to go more on a plant-based diet, and he loves cheese, right? He loves cheese. But cheese is no good for us. And it's really hard in the body, and it's so full of saturated fat. So that's a few thoughts on that subject.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. So I was with a friend yesterday, and she'd gone along to the natural health series that is being run here each week in Palmerston North, and she was just blown away at all the healthy alternatives that you can use to in place of cheese. And she said it just tasted exactly like cheese, but it was made with things like cashews or other things, and she was just really amazed at how good it tasted, and yet not having that high fat cheese. So here we go. We're going to have a song, Counting Every Blessing.
I was blind, now I'm seeing in color. I was dead, now I'm living forever. I had failed, but you were my redeemer. I've been blessed beyond all measure. I was lost, now I'm found by the Father. I've been changed from a ruin to treasure. I've been given a hope and a future. I've been blessed beyond all measure. I am counting every blessing, counting every blessing, letting go and trusting.
You are good to me.
Right, isn't that a great song? Count your blessings, not your burdens.
For your goodness,
count your blessings, not your burdens. You know, the Bible tells us how to think. It does. It tells us how to think. Philippians 4 and verse 8, and it says, in conclusion, my brothers and sisters, fill your minds with those things that are good and deserve praise. Think that things that are true and noble and right and pure and honourable. These are the sort of things we think about. So that's the way to be happy in life. Count your blessings. Now we're going to have an ad break and we'll be back.
If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. NPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out npr.nz for more information.
Hi, welcome back. Yes, so now we're going to have our Bible section and Dennis is going to take that today. And are we still looking at the book of Revelation?
Yes, Revelation. It's a very interesting book, the Revelation, because it's dealing with last things. It actually has a lot in it. It has a lot of wonderful promises. We went over them when we were dealing with especially Revelation 2 and 3, where we have 21 promises. And the most amazing promise that we're going to sit on the throne with God, with Jesus. So we've been talking about Revelation 14 the last few times, and we finished about the three angels' message. These are the final messages to go to the world, and we're going to talk a bit about the harvest, but I just want to deal with verse 13 where it says, this is Revelation 14 and verse 13, and then I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this, happy are those who from now on die in service for the Lord. Right? Yes, indeed, answers the Spirit. They will enjoy rest from their hard work because the results of their service go with them. Right? So, it's blessed. I think some of the other versions say, blessed are those who die in the Lord. So to be faithful unto death, the Bible says, I will give you a crown. I will give you a crown of promise. You know, God will give us a crown. But Jesus was faithful unto death, and he's risen. He's risen, right? And we follow a risen God, right? We follow a risen Saviour. So Christianity, we have a risen God. He's risen, and we are following him. And he died. He rested from his labours, and he is risen. Right, and that's what will happen to his followers. Now, when you plant a garden or you've got a tree, you look forward to the harvest. You know, I've planted fruit trees, like we talked about before, and we look for a harvest, right? And God, he is looking forward to a harvest. Now, the three angels' message prepares people in the whole world for the harvest. Now, with the three angels' message, people are going to decide for God, or they will decide for the other side, which really is Satan, right? And the pressure from the world. See, so everyone's going to decide. So those who decide for Jesus, it says, blessed. Blessed are those who die in the Lord. Now, when you go to the book of Daniel, to understand the book of Revelation, you need to go to the book of Daniel. You need to understand the book of Daniel. Now, it says in Daniel 2, and it says, you know, it's talking about these people who die in the Lord. And those who are not in the Lord. And it says, verse 2 and 3, and it says, And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. And then it says, those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Right? Isn't that an interesting verse? That is an interesting verse. So we want to be on the right side. So this message that's going to go to the world will divide everyone. There'll be no other way. There's going to be a harvest. Now, the Bible talks about a harvest. And I thought I would read some of the verses in it's Matthew 13. And this is actually Jesus' words. These are Jesus' words. And I've just got to get chapter 13. And we're going to have a look at verses 37 on. 37. Just got to get the right page. 37. And this is what Jesus talks about the sower. The sower went out to sow. And I'm not reading the first bit. So the sower went out to sow, right? And he sowed wheat, but tares came up. And the workers said, shall we go and pull up the tares? And Jesus said, no, don't pull up the tares. Wait until the harvest. And this is what Jesus is saying. And Jesus said, the man who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the people who belong to the kingdom. The weeds are the people who belong to the evil one. The enemy who sowed the weeds is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvest workers are the angels. Just as the weeds are gathered up and burned in the fire, so the same thing will happen at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels and gather out of his kingdom all those who cause people to sin and others to do evil things. And they will be thrown into a furious furnace where there will be cry, where they will cry and grind their teeth. But God's people will shine like the sun in their Father's kingdom. Listen then, if you have ears. If you have ears, right? Important to listen. So there's going to be a harvest. Now, in Revelation 14, verse 14 on, it talks about this harvest, and it's very solemn. And I'm just going to read it to you. So I'm going to read verse 14 onwards to the end of the chapter. And I'm reading from the Good News Bible. Then I looked, and there was a white cloud. And sitting on the cloud was what looked like a human being with a crown of gold on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. So this is Jesus. Then another angel came from the temple and cried out with a loud voice to the one who sits on the cloud, use your sickle to reap the harvest, because the time has come. The earth is ripe for harvest. Then the one who sat on the cloud swung his sickle on the earth, and the earth harvest was reaped. And then I saw another angel come out of the temple. Another angel came out of the temple in heaven, and he also had a sharp sickle. Then another angel who was in charge of the fire came from the altar, and he shouted with a loud voice to the angel who had the sharp sickle, use your sickle and cut the grapes from the vineyard of the earth, because the grapes are ripe. And so the angel swung his sickle into the earth, cut the grapes from the vine and throw them into the winepress of God's furious anger. And the grapes were squeezed out into the winepress out of the city, and the blood came out of the winepress in a flood, 300 kilometres long and nearly 2 metres deep. So pretty solemn, isn't it? You want to be on the right side, my friends. See, there's coming a time when everyone has made their decision. And then God says, he says in Revelation 22, 11 and 12, he says, let the evildoer still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still be righteous, and the holy be holy. So when people have made their decision, the end of probation came. It's like Noah's flood. Noah gave his last appeal to the people to come into Noah's ark to be saved. Those who stayed out were lost. Those who went in were saved. And the only reason the ones who were saved on the inside is because they accepted the invitation and went in. Everyone who didn't was outside. All are lost, the Bible says. Jesus came to die for us. And all who put their trust in him, all who have faith in him, can be saved. He is our sacrifice. He is our righteousness. That's the only way that you and I can be saved, by accepting Jesus Christ. Him that cometh to me, I shall in no wise cast out. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There is salvation in no one else except in the name of Jesus, because Jesus is the only one of all the religions who is alive. He's alive, right? None of the leaders of the other great religions of the world, none of them are alive, but Jesus is alive. And because he rose, we will rise. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Now, I think we should have a break. Lynette, I think we should have a break and we'll come back.
Adore you.
to you.
Welcome back. Turn your eyes to Jesus. So he's the secret. He's the one that's given us life. We're on this planet because he's given us life. It's his will. But we're in a broken world, and God's come to mend this world. And there's going to be a harvest. See, Jesus, who is God, who created everything, came to save us. You know, I love this illustration about the American colonies, 13 of them, and one of them they had a problem with stealing. And the governor brought in this law, 40 lashes for anyone caught stealing. Problem was, his mum was the first one caught, and she's caught red-handed. And they're all wondering what the governor's going to do. Is he going to let his mum off, which people wouldn't take any notice of the law. But if he was going to beat her, it sounded rather harsh, didn't it? So the day came, she's proven guilty, and they look to the governor. The governor takes off his shirt, and he says, "I'll take the 40 lashes." Right, so he showed compassion and mercy to his mum, and he upheld the law. Any country who's going to have a civilized society has to have laws, and they have to be enforced. And see, the problem is we've broken them. We've broken those laws in more ways than any of us could imagine. And God has come. He's come to die upon a cross, not only to die but to suffer in our stead. See, now, God wouldn't do that if he wasn't going to have a harvest, if there was going to be no one saved. He wouldn't do it. That was not just man on a cross. He was the God-man. He was God, the creator, suffering and paying our price, and he's going to have a harvest, right? And the Bible in many places talks about this harvest. Now, I'm just going to read you some. For instance, in the minor prophets in the Bible, there's an amazing amount of wealth of material in the minor prophets. I keep reading the Bible, and this is what it says in Joel 3, verse 13 onwards. And it says, "Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe." See, the world's coming to that. Right, the world is getting riper and riper. Come, put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, go down, for the winepress is full. The vats are overflowing, for their wickedness is great. Right, see, God only lets wickedness and rebellion go so long. So much pain and suffering in this world. I watch Channel 20. Which gives you the world news, concentrates on the world news. And, it's a sad world in many places. So it says here, verse 14, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. So there comes a time when people have got to make their decision for God or against him. And then it says, the sun and the moon will grow dark, and the stars will be diminish their brightness. And the Lord also will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. That's the new Jerusalem. The heavens and the earth will shake, and the Lord will be a shelter to his people and a strength to the children of God. You shall know that I am the Lord your God. Right. So that's just one part there in Joel. Now I'm going to read to you another part where it says in Amos chapter 8, 11 and 12. And this is talking about the time when the harvest, when the decision has been made and it's too late. It says, "Behold, the day is coming, say the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine for bread, nor a thirst for water, but for hearing the word of the Lord. They will wander from sea to sea, from north to east. They shall run to and fro, and they will seek the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it. Right? So this is talking about that verse where it says in Revelation, he that is just, let him be just, and he who is filthy, let him be filthy. So there comes a time when it's going to be too late, and you don't want to be on the wrong side. You really don't want to be on the wrong side. For instance, there's a tricky verse in the Bible where it talks about God said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So who does God have mercy on? To those who respond to him in faith. See, we're all in the same boat, everyone. There is no one righteous in this world. No one who is perfectly righteous. We're all broken people. But Jesus died for us to redeem us. And the ones that who will be saved are those who respond to him in faith. They are the ones that he forgives their sins. Who does God have compassion? Those who respond to his compassion. The Bible talks about how God hardens people. Well, the Bible always seems to appear to say things that God doesn't do, but it's the response of people who don't respond to God. They harden. It's like the sun beats down on clay and it bakes it. The sun comes down on wax and it melts it. So it's what we do with what God brings into our life. So who does God have compassion on? Those who respond to his compassion. Who does God harden? Those who do not hate their sins, who do not fight their sins. See, the real person is the one who is troubled with themselves. If we don't have trouble with ourselves, we don't really understand ourselves. A person is of value when he begins to fight the evil in themselves. What does it mean when God says in Romans 9:15, he will have mercy on whom he will have mercy? I will have mercy on all those who hate sin, who come to me confessing, who come to me believing the promise. I will have mercy on all of them. But those who couldn't care less about their evil behavior, I can't have mercy on them. I can't, right? So the secret really to life is coming to God. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He's the way, the truth, and the life. If the Son will set you free, you are free indeed. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not condemned. He who does not believe in is condemned already. So the issue is, do we believe? Do we accept Jesus as our Lord and our Savior? Have we invited him into our life? Because the day's coming when it's going to be too late. Like it says here in Amos, people are going to be looking for the word of God because they're going to be suffering. The plagues are going to be poured out. And because the lost is going to be trying to kill God's people, and they will kill a lot of people. Right, a lot of God's people. But it's going to be too late, and you don't want to be in that camp. Today is the day of salvation, it says. Today, not tomorrow, today. You don't know if you've got tomorrow, and the problem with tomorrow is you'll put it off, and you keep putting it off until it's too late and you are lost, right? Today is the day of salvation. If you haven't invited Jesus into your life, you can do it now. You can say, Lord, I come to you. I give my life to you. You work in me, right? Your will. Help me, Lord. This is the real answer for life. So I think I've run out of time. My wife's smiling. I'm running out of time. So anyhow, next time we will talk a bit about the reward and we talk about endurance, how to endure, right? So I've got to stop. So God bless you.
Thank you, Dennis. Yeah, very important stuff that he's sharing. And yes, do not put off being right with God. So, just a reminder before we go that we have a couple of free giveaways. One is here, the book Steps to Christ, and the other is the Sign magazine that you can find at the local takeaways here in Palmerston North. And we can be contacted at info@mpr.nz or 022-681-5216. So from Dennis and myself, we just pray that you will grow in grace and that the love of the Father and the grace of the Lord Jesus and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will be with you. God bless until next time.
I see.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.